your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Good evening, everyone. This is the Journey Radio Show, and I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight. And we're going to be talking about our favorite topic, which is Bigfoot. So, of course, we're showing up as the She Squatchers. I've got my fellow teammate on the line. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
I am here with the bells on. I'm so excited, and I'm really interested in our guest tonight.
Oh, I am too. I am too. And we are sliding in at the last minute here. We just got back from CryptidCon in Kentucky.
Oh, yes.
And, oh, what a ride that was. Chased and, out of there by the weather, I tell you what.
And then we leave again in 2 days.
Actually, it's one day, Jenna, because we leave in the morning on Friday.
You just broke my nerve.
I know, right? Right? So that's We've got the Bigfoot Music Festival in Reamer, Minnesota this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. So come on out and see us. We'll have a booth set up there. We'll be available for all your questions and chatting about Bigfoot in Reamer, Minnesota, which is known as the home of Bigfoot. So we'll be there. I know there's quite a few people who are planning to attend the event just to come hang out with us. So I'm really super excited about that and super, super excited to see everybody. And I think we may also be attending the I Outran the Hairy Man Marathon on October. Is that October 6th?
Yes.
In Vergas, Minnesota. That's such a cool, fun little event where they've had these Bigfoot sightings. They have people running the marathon through the woods where the sightings have occurred. So that's why they call it I Outran the Hairy Man.
That'll be fun. They call it the Hairy Man 5K. So get over right there if you can.
Right, exactly. And then we have our big Paracon in Minnesota at the Shooting Star Casino Hotel and Event Center in Mendoman, Minnesota. So that's good to be a good time. Always fun there. So check that out. But our big, big, big exciting event that's coming up is the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. You can check it out at TennesseeBigfootConference.com. I know they are now selling VIP passes for the exclusive party on Friday night to come and hang out with us and the other special guests and speakers. And it's only $35. It's a limited time offer, and that's going to get you in the event for 2 days. It's going to get you into the exclusive party. You're going to get a T-shirt and a signed book by us of Bigfoot Explorers 2018. We didn't write the book. We're just featured in it. So come out and see us at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in Kingsport, Tennessee. So I want to tell you a little bit about our guest because we're super excited to have her on with us. We've got Claudia Ackley. She's come to discuss the details surrounding her Bigfoot lawsuit against the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Claudia Ackley is a Sasquatch researcher in California. An unusual experience in 1996 at the Yosemite National Park in Upper Falls and two subsequent encounters is what led to her to passion in research. The most recent encounter was intimidating for her and her daughters, and this has inspired her to file a court case against the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. With the help of Todd Standing and many others, the case will help prove the species exists and that the agency knew of their existence and were derelict of their duty to warn the public that they were there. In addition to Sasquatch research, Claudia is a single mom of two daughters and has worked in the medical profession and has also been a speaker of domestic violence. So without further ado, I know I have lots of questions for Claudia, and you do too. So let's bring her on. Hey, Claudia, are you there?
I am here, and I am so honored to be with you guys. I've heard wonderful, great things about you, and I just want to say how thankful I am for you guys taking your time to listen to my story. I'm very grateful for that.
Aww. Well, I'm so excited you could come on. So thank you for honoring us with your presence.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
Thank you.
You know, we didn't get a lot of time to chat before the show, which happens. We're always running in at the last minute, aren't we?
I understand. Yeah.
That's us women. We've always got a million things going on at once.
We do.
So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what happened and, you know, hear a little bit more. You mentioned something about you'd recently gone out. And with Dan, is that true?
Yes.
You've gone out in the field with Dan?
Yeah, I went to the Cascade Mountains and the beautiful state of Oregon, and it was such an honor to be with Dan Lindholm, and I'm so grateful for him. He's been a very good friend of mine. And in the year 2016, Adam Davies, Ed Brown, myself, and Dan went out into the woods, and we experienced a lot of great, you know, we didn't see Eva sighting, but it was a very educational. It was a lot of physical work too. We walked about 5 miles a day, like in the rugged terrain off the trail. And, you know, Dan was like showing us like the things that have happened to him then. And we had rocks thrown on the way out. We felt like we were being watched, that eerie feeling. And, you know, what was interesting that I want to give you guys a compliment is that, we were walking on the trail, you know how you chit chat when you're walking, kind of looking around. And I told Dan, you know, the last time we were here, like we were in the, it's like a big circle. It's called the four. Well, I'm not going to say what it's called, but it's a big lake, and you walk around the lake, you know, and, we went to a part where it's like a burnt area. It actually burnt at one point. So as we were leaving, the rocks were being thrown at us in the year 2016. Well, once we went around the other lake where our campsite was, I was looking like right where the burn section is. And I saw this huge, like, I don't know if it was red or blue. It was like this red, gloomy light. And then I'm like, Ed, are you seeing this? And Dan and Adam were like in a different spot. And then all of a sudden it went from red to like blue. And it was just like maybe for 20 seconds and then it went away. And I'm thinking, like, we were just out there. There's no other human being out there. There's no cell phone service. I can't imagine someone having like a big old light and shining it for no reason, walking in the rugged terrain, you know, of that part of the woods. And as we were walking this time a couple months ago, I told Dan, you know, the last time I was here, it was weird because I saw this red and blue light. And then he stopped walking, and then his mouth dropped, and he turned around and looked at me, and I'm like, are you seeing the Sasquatch? Like, what's going on? And he said, this is really compelling because you guys told him, you know, I believe one of you are psychic, and you said that you saw red and blue light, you know. And then when he told me, like, you won't believe what, you know, the Sasquatchers told me. And he said, I didn't know that. And that's amazing. It was confirmation for him, and that was really cool, you know. But it's I believe that clan is a little bit more aggressive than other clans that I've experienced. So that's a compliment to you guys because that was really neat. So.
Nice.
Well, thank you. That's awesome. You just to fill in the listeners a little bit about what that was is I do remote viewing of locations before I go there, and in essence try to see if I can find Bigfoot before we ever get ever even close to the woods, and if we can lock down locations to look for Bigfoot that way, and it's been really fun for us to do those experiments. And Claudia was doing research with Dan Lindholm and Ed Brown, right? And
yeah.
Dan and Ed had asked me if I could remote view that location, and Dan gave me the coordinates of the woods, of the location, that whole area that you were just talking about, and asked if I would look around there. And I did, just briefly, but it was the middle of the day, and my phone was going off like crazy. I need really quiet time to be doing that kind of thing, and since typically I do that in the middle of the night when everyone else is sleeping and my phone isn't going off with messages and people calling. So I was able to look at it just briefly and kept getting pulled out of that with calls and messages. But what I did see briefly was these, you know, red and blue lights. And I told Dan what that means to me and to be cautious when you see them. And so I suppose that's why his eyes got really big when you said you'd seen that. Because I was telling him it was a warning and what gave him instructions on what to do if you saw that.
Oh, no. It's very aggressive. So you were right on your feelings of that, you know. So it was, that was really neat. That's a compliment because, you know, some people like, or how would you have guessed that? And I saw that. So that was kind of confirmation for all of us, you know. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. And it's hard to tell people things like that because they're looking for Bigfoot. But then, you know, I just tell them what I'm seeing and trust what I'm seeing. And I have to do that. But, you know, my logical mind says, oh, don't tell them that. That's all woo stuff, right?
I know. But I'm glad that you guys stick strong to what you believe in. Doesn't matter what people think. You know, a lot of people in this field are like, well, you can't say that because what are people going to think? And I'm trying to teach people, whatever you experience, feel free to like experience it. You know, it's your experience, and I want people to have confidence in what they believe and feel, and it's really important.
Right. Yeah, I agree. When you go out there, you know, you got to share these things because more than likely you're not the only ones experiencing them. So if you share them, then we can learn what it
each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So here's what I'm. We need to get, I really have a lot of questions about your story, Claudia. So thank you for touching base on that so I knew more of what was going on because I got your message in Messenger about that. And I think Jenna just froze up. She looked.
I know.
It's a good pose, though. She's not making a funny face, at least. some of my questions were, I just wanted like to get started with you know, can you tell us a little bit about your first encounter that was really interesting for you?
You know, I was young. I've told the story so many times, and sometimes I get lazy with telling the story. But we were young, and we decided to go to Yosemite National Park. And I was never like a sci-fi girl. People would tell me they saw like UFOs and ghosts, and not that I don't relate Bigfoot with like that type of crypto because what I've seen is flesh and blood that I've experienced, but it was, we went up there, we hiked about 5 miles with about 40 pounds of gear on each of us. We went to a mountain called Upper Falls, and that's about, it's a pretty high elevation where we have to walk up there. So once we got there, we started hiking up there, and it was one of those really hard hikes where you're like asking every 5 minutes, are we almost there yet? Like how many more miles, you know? And once we got up there, there's a river, of course, and that's like the falls. And we noticed that people would go, you know, like they would come up and they would take pictures and they'd go back down. And we were like the only dummies that were like, we're going to pop up a tent. Like there's nobody around. There's no cell phone service. It was very, very isolated. So before we did that, we got a fire permit. And like they told us there's a lot of bear activity. Make sure you put your food in canisters. And we said, okay. We were young and irresponsible then, thinking like nothing was ever going to happen to us. But we had bears on our mind. And that day we popped up our tent. We were very tired. My roommate brought a box of, like, I remember the box being green, a box of granola bars. And right before we went to bed, we were tired, and I saw that box in the tent. And I said, hey, like, do you want to throw that out? And he's like, nah, we'll be good. Like, don't worry. Like, I could fight anything, you know, type thing. And we went to sleep, and, like, once we were asleep, we were all dead tired. We heard, like, I was sound asleep, and I heard this god-awful growl that literally sent shivers down. It was like, it sounded like it was right next to our tent. And we, like, my friend, my roommate, Curtis, and I, we get up, we, like, sit up, and my other roommate, his eyes are wide open. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there's a bear, a big bear, like, right outside of our tent. And I whisper to him, the granola bars, like, get it out. So as he starts looking around in the dark for the box of granola bars, I find the flashlight. And at that point, you know, I got the flashlight, he found the granola bars, and he starts zipping, like, the tent. And then he threw the box of granola bars as far as he could away from us. So I waited, you know, a little bit, like 20 seconds to a minute, and then I grabbed a flashlight and I started shining, like starting from the ground up. And we were like on a rock, actually a flat rock that we put our tent on. It was very kind of terrain there. So when I did that, we saw this huge, it looked like a bipedal something walking into the wood line. And I just took like a few seconds of seeing it, him and I saw it. And then I looked at him and I go, what was that? And he said, I don't know, maybe a bear? And I'm like, no, like, this thing was, like, walking. It's so we were so scared that night that we didn't sleep. We were, like, on, like, alert. And the next morning, as soon as sun rose, we got up and we started packing our tent to get back down because we felt really unsafe. We never found the box of granola bars. So, you know, for years that was always on my mind. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine. We were just chatting and she asked me, like, what is the most scariest event that happened in your life? And I told her that was one. And I said, I never knew what that was. It was just weird. You know, it's always bothered me. And then she said to me, like, well, maybe it was a Bigfoot. And I started, like, chuckling. I'm like, really? They're not real. Like, she goes, no, Google it. Like, Google it. And she's not even, like, a really Bigfoot person. But I always wanted questions. So I started looking at stuff on YouTube. And that's how I got involved with the whole Sasquatch species, learning about them. And that was my first experience. So.
Wow. So. Did that get you hooked or?
I never had a Facebook account at that time, but I found a wonderful woman named Barbara Shoup. And I started watching her. She just started her YouTube channel and we kind of like started growing together, you know, and I liked her and I started watching her, subscribed to her, and we started chatting back and forth on YouTube on the comments. And I remember telling her, I said, like, I love your channel. I love what you're like learning. And my dream one day is to go up there with you and learn, you know, from, and she goes, come up, like, I'm inviting you to come up. So just so you know, the culture here in Los Angeles, if you talk about Sasquatch, like, people look at you like you're on drugs or mental health, like, oh, are you okay? You know, it's really, cause there's not a lot of woods out here. It's more, you know, smog and buildings and Hollywood. And, I wanted to go to Washington where she's at, so I could just sit and visit with her about the Sasquatch and learn, you know, a little bit about it. So that was my second trip that I took in the year 2014 after I started like learning about the Sasquatch species and their structures, and I started learning. So do you want me to tell you about my second
trip? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I absolutely do. Yes.
Okay. So I decided to go up there and I was really scared because at that point, like, I've never really been back to the woods like since my experience in Yosemite. And I told her when I went up there, like, I don't want you to, like, show me old prints. I want to find things for myself because I wanted that answer. Like, I want to question and I wanted to figure out for myself, do these species exist? And the person that went with me, he asked me on the plane, like, are you going to be disappointed if we don't see a Bigfoot? And I said, oh, you're not going to see one. Like, you have to be lucky to see one, you know, and I just want to hang out with them and learn and maybe find my own prints, my own structures out there with her. And sure enough, like, we got there, and the first night we walked around the woods at night, nothing happened, and she was just kind of showing us the area and the things that she's experienced. The second day, we started, like, experiencing, like, the screams at night, and that sent shivers down my spine because I was thinking, like, is that a coyote? And they're like, no. Like, that's not, it's super loud and intense, you know, the screams. And I think the third day, we started throwing, like, rocks for her dog, Gabby, in this pond after we hiked a couple miles into the woods. And as soon as we were leaving, the rocks started getting thrown back at us. And we're like, oh, like, what's throwing those rocks? It's not us, you know. So everything that you can experience as far as the Sasquatch, I was able to experience. So, like, I started believing, like, this is probably real. Like, you know, and just so you guys know, she's got a YouTube channel. And when she records, she doesn't tell us she's going to push the record button on her camera. She wants us to be as natural as possible. So we were walking one day on a trail. This is an amazing experience. And I think it was like the fourth day. I think it was 9/11, 2014. And what happened was we were walking on the trail and she took us off the trail. She said, I want to show you guys something that I've noticed. So as we were walking on the trail, we leave the trail and we go left. And she's showing us this log that's been twisted. And you know that sense that you feel like somebody's watching you? I've learned to, like, listen to your gut intuition. And you see me on the camera, and she's talking about this log, and I start looking, like, and I see a creature 75 feet from me. And my eyes just got big. And in my head, I'm still thinking, like, oh, what kind of Washington creature are you? Like, I've never seen anything like you. And he looked like, it's really hard to explain, but his face was, like, he had an alien-looking face with the big black almond eyes, huge eyes, and he looked like a chimpanzee. And what he was doing is he was holding on to a tree with one hand. And the way I could tell people the way his expression is when we locked eyes was, oh no, I've been detected. Like, if you accidentally walk into someone who's getting dressed and you see that they're like startled, that was his reaction. So what he did is he jumped off the tree and I remember seeing his fingernails. They were black and long. And as he was like jumping down, he took two bipedal steps and then went on all fours and ran away from us. And my eyes are huge. I can't even talk. And Barbara saw it, and she said, like, did you guys just see that? And I'm like, so what kind of Washington creature did we just see? Because I forgot that they were young at one, you know, at one point they're babies. And when I think in my head and I'm learning about the saw, I think of a 10-foot, 1,000-pound creature walking, like, in front of us. Thank God that didn't happen. But at that moment of my life, it was a huge, like, oh, my gosh, they do exist. Like, this is, like, for real. And life is so short. I need to, like, really learn about the species. And at that time, I wasn't in a healthy marriage. I was married 20 years. And I realized that I had to make some changes in my life because there's so much of life that we don't even know. And that really changed my life. I lost 130 pounds. I started, like, being more intense about the research. Unfortunately, I divorced for the best of my daughters. I want them to have a healthy mom, a healthy childhood. And I had to make some big decisions after that because that moment really changed, like, my life. And I felt very compelled to, like, learn more about them. So that was my experience with it. And it's called the cloaked Bigfoot. And as I was looking at the creature, he was not cloaked because I saw his hair. And as he was running, and I saw his back, and I could see pink. He wasn't, like, a grayish color like a lot of people say. He was young. He was about 5 feet tall, and in the camera it looks tiny, but it was actually, he was pretty big, you know, but nothing intimidating at all. So that was such a beautiful experience for me. I had nights where I couldn't sleep because I kept replaying that moment over and over in my head, saying, oh my gosh, they are real. It was just like, it was so amazing. So that was my second encounter. So I was blessed.
You are blessed.
I am. She's a great person too, so learned a lot from her.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, and as far as my third encounter, this was a very different type of experience. And what happened was we ended up moving to the mountains. And I don't know why, but I would do a navigation. I was new in the area, didn't know where I was going. I had to pick up my daughters from school, so I would navigate on my phone. And for some reason, even though I was following the directions, it would take me to the end of this trail. And it took me there 5 times. And I'm like, maybe I should, because when you look at where we live, there's so many thousands and thousands of acres, you don't even know where to start. And maybe I just said, you know what, I'm just going to check this, like, this trail. It'll be fun. So when my daughters one day went with their dad for their visit, Ed Brown and I, we decided to go out there just to have, like, a date night, just to do a walk. And to be honest with you, I've gone to places where there's a lot of signs of Sasquatch activity, like there's X markers and, like, you know, like all these structures. And but I didn't sense anything here. I was like, but the only thing that was weird is this trail about a mile into the woods, there's these three huge trees blocking the trail. And I've heard that they do that. They block the trail to keep people away. And they were live trees, some of them, or two of them were. So I was telling Ed, like, this is weird. Like, you know, why are these three, like, trees that are pushing the trail all within 100 feet? I wonder what happened here. You know, there hasn't been snow or wind. So we had a great time, went Facebook Live, didn't feel anything squatchy. So we went back home a couple of days later. My daughters come home for me, and they did their homework. We had dinner, and I don't want them on social media all the time. I want them to see the beauty that God has given us, so I want to be a healthy mom. And I told them, I said, hey, like, we've really never gone hiking together. Do you guys want to go on a quick hike? And they were like, yeah, you know, it'll be fun. At that point, when I do go hiking, I have, like, my camo, I have my boots, like, I'm really prepared. And this was around 6 p.m. at night, and I tell my daughters as we're driving to the trail, which is about a minute drive, maybe 2 minute drive from where I live, I said, look, there's bears out here, and I said, don't ever run from a bear. I was educating them on nature. There's mountain lions, and I said, they kind of get you from the back. I was trying to teach them safety, and they're rolling their eyes going, oh my gosh, mom, like, let's just get there and have fun. Like, you know, they're kids. I brought my bear spray and my cell phone. I gave my 14-year-old daughter my car keys, and I said, look, and I lied her in a Ziploc bag, and I said, in case something happens, like, here's my keys. And they're rolling their eyes, of course, and being silly. When mm-hmm. we first got out of the car, my daughter started videotaping, just like my dog, like, walking. She used to start videotaping, like, the sides of the woods. I have a 11-year-old at that time, and she was in the front of us, and my middle daughter, she was 14, she was in the middle, and I was in the back. So we start walking, and we're having a great time. And, you know, one thing that's interesting is when my daughter, she knows about, like, her mom's into Bigfoot, and they're, like, embarrassed, like, oh my gosh, like, it's so embarrassing. Well, she knows about wood knocks, so she grabbed a stick and she did 2 wood knocks for fun. And I thought, let her be a kid, you know. And they were skipping and having a great time. We ran into the first tree that's live, and they were jumping on it and having a good time. And then we started walking to the second tree that's down. And at that point, I took a picture of my daughter, and you could see my youngest daughter. And she's looking left, like she's looking at something. she didn't even know I was taking the picture. And then my 14 is posing for the picture. And at that point, my dog froze. So I see my youngest daughter turning the curve, and all of a sudden I see her look left to right, like she's following something, like she's seeing something. And she froze, like her hair stopped moving, her hands to the side. I noticed her body language. And for a minute as a mom, you think, oh no, she's seeing something. Like I'm getting concerned. Then at that point, my 14-year-old caught up with her. So now they're like in line, and I see my daughter's body language completely frozen, just staring, stopped moving. So I knew there's something in front of them, and I will like die to defend my children. What I did is I ran as fast as I can. And I did, as I was telling you, what I wear is I had my hospice shoes on. I work with hospice patients. So I ran as fast as I could, thinking I'm going to have to fight against a bear or something that they're seeing in front. And as I was running, my youngest daughter turns around, and she had the most horrific look on her face that I've never seen in 11 years of her life. And because she heard something coming behind her, and it was me, but I noticed that, and I start walking. I ran about 30 feet in front of them, and when I look, there was an enormous male Sasquatch just staring, like, at us. And I'm thinking in my head, this is really not happening. You go into a denial, like, this, and I'm still walking towards him. I'm not stopping. And at that point, I'm walking up to him thinking, this is just a shadow. This is really not happening. I cannot believe this is happening. And something in my head, there was four words that said, don't get any closer. And because my daughter kept saying, mom, like she noticed I was kind of in a trance. And at that point, I froze. And I see him, and he's maybe 800 pounds. Let me just express to you what he looked like. His head was about three of ours. He had like gray skin. His face looked like a Neanderthal man and huge black solid eyes. And he had no expression on his face, but he didn't look very happy. He wasn't like a smile, like, hey, you know, like it was very like intimidating, like I'm in charge here, you know, type thing. So what I did is, I don't know why, but I raised my hands up in the air. I'm holding bear spray in one hand, my cell phone in another. Two things you probably don't appreciate if they know what it is. And I said, we come in peace. And then I just wanted to see if there was a reaction of him. And then I noticed that he looked at me, and then I could see him slightly turning his head, looking at like the three of us. And then I'm thinking, okay, I'm asking my daughters, do you see a head? Do you see shoulders? Do you see a hair? Do you see him by the tree? And they're like, yes, yes. At that point, my daughters start panicking. They start asking, like my little one says, we have to go home now. Like, you know, that's she's 11, you know. And my oldest daughter, she was like, mom, I swear to God, mom, she just couldn't. It started getting out of control. And in the medical profession, you're trained that when there's a situation, you want to keep your environment as controlled as possible. So I turned around, not even thinking, like, what's going on. But I said to them, you need to calm down. You need to take a deep breath. We're going to be okay. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, please don't come at us, because I'm so scared. You know, in my head, I'm thinking this. And what Claudia, I did.
Claudia, we need to go to our break. So we're going to hold that thought. And
yeah,
we're going to leave them with a cliffhanger. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Claudia Ackley. Stay tuned, everybody.
Thank you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series, The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That I promise.
Be careful! The Unish Bar!
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show, and we are the She Squatchers. And when we're not live on the air, you can find us on our website at thejourneyradioshow.com or shesquatchers.com. Please like us on Facebook and on Twitter. So here we are with Claudia Ackley. She's here to tell us all about her experiences with her aggressive encounter while she was in the woods with her daughters hiking. And she was in the middle of the story while I rudely interrupted and left y'all with a cliffhanger. So before we get back into that part of the story, I had a question in the chat room asking, how did you know that it was a male? I'm just curious.
Well, in the video, it's not, I mean, the video doesn't give just of like what we were seeing like in real life, but my instinct, not that I saw its genitals or anything, but I could see him from like the chest up, and he just looked manly. I'm not, I call him a he, just my intuition says it's a he, just because he didn't look at all femaleish at all, very, very alpha type looking. And that's why I guess that I've seen two. The one in Washington, I believe, was a male, even though I didn't see their gender. So
awesome. Awesome. So back to the story, you were in the middle of like describing.
Right.
What was happening?
He was a huge, let me just explain. He was about 30 feet up on a tree, and there's like a V in on the tree. And what I noticed was, I thought when he was standing by the tree where I was standing, there's kind of a hill that goes down. So I noticed there was a fresh tree break on the tree. I noticed that for a reason, but he had a gray skin. He looked like a Neanderthal man, black solid eyes, almost like a raccoon. You know how raccoons have that black, because his eyes were so big. He had no facial hair, but he had hair kind of sticking up everywhere. And his chest was very barrel chested, and I mean, I didn't, and the only thing I noticed is that at the time he scratched his face for a minute, like he didn't mind us being there. So what happened was, as I was looking at him, I noticed that I whooped at him because he started looking at my daughters, and I'm thinking like for a second, no, you don't want to look at my daughters. If anything's going to happen, do it to me, you know, type thing. And I wanted to let it know, I know about your kind, and that's what, and I don't recommend you do that because I don't know what whoop means. It could be like, hey, I'm food here, come get me, or... So what I did is I whooped at him. And at that point, like the whole demeanor, like everything changed. Before I whooped at him, I could see him slightly turning, looking at the three of us. And then as I whooped at him, at this point, he just glared. He would not like stop looking at me. Ooh. And as my daughter, I didn't know this at the time, but she was behind me about 30 feet. And she videotaped a couple times and I had my cell phone in my hand, and I thought for a second videotape it. But when you're in front of a mammoth in the woods with your kids and you're like, I felt if I pointed something at him, that would be a really big problem. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if I was thinking in my head, if you come at me, I know I'm not going to win, but I will jump on you and I will do what I can to save my daughter's life. Before we decided to go on this hike on the drive, I told my daughters, you have to listen to me. If I tell you to turn around, hold hands and run, do not look back. I will come back. Just do exactly what I say. And I was hoping that they were like, at the time, everything happened so fast. So what happened was I whooped at it again. I did it a couple times. And at that point, he starts to sway back and forth. And it's weird. Like, and then I noticed him looking on the ground for a minute, like, where am I going to jump to? Or where, I felt like he was going to come at us. So what I did is I told my daughters, slowly turn around and do not run. And at that point, like, they start turning around. My youngest almost starts to run. I go, do not run, do not run. And then I turn around, and my daughter's still facing him, my middle daughter, my 14-year-old. And I asked her, is he coming at us? And she said, I don't know. I said, okay, just turn around and start walking. So as we start walking away, I'm like, I'm walking away from him, and I keep turning around to see if he's, you know, you just have that feeling like, oh, am I going to be chased? Or you have like that scary horror movie, though it didn't happen. I was still like so scared. At that point, he was swaying faster. And then I turned around and I said, thank you so much for showing yourself. I don't know why I said that, but I did. And we start walking. That walk, like from that sighting to my car, was about a mile. And I'm like praying, please, like, please don't come at us. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking left, right, up. And during this trail before the encounter, I had my eyes and everything open because I was just checking out to see if there's a bear or anything for safety. Didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. There was no warning at all of them at all. Unfortunately, well, so then we get in the car right away, and my daughter's locked the door. My youngest starts to cry a little bit, and then my other one, she's shaking, my 14-year-old. She's in the front seat with me. And then I just said, I didn't want to say the word Sasquatch, and it took me a couple days to even say the word Sasquatch for some reason. And I asked her, what did we just see right now? And she said, Mom, let's just go. Like, go, go, go. Put the car. Like, let's. She was, like, anxious. Like, let's go. My youngest daughter, I asked her, are you okay? She's like, yes. And I said, what did we just see? And she said, well, when I first saw the two of them running, and I'm like, what did you say? And she goes, well, when I saw the two of them running, they ran behind the big one. Oh. And then I said, how many did we see today? And she said, three. And she said, two of them, like, ran. And she said, the one in the front was looking at her. And when she was interviewed, I want to tell people this. Like, she doesn't know about the Sasquatch species, like, her mom's into it, but as she was mimicking how they were running, she turned around, she turned her shoulders with her head, which is what they do. They don't turn their necks like you and I. So that was very compelling to people because they thought she's remembering what she saw. And she said the one in front was bigger than the one behind it, and the one in front was looking at her as it was running forward, and then they ran behind the big one on the tree. And at that point, I was in so much shock that I know that they're never really alone. And I didn't even look around us to see what was around us. But on the video, you can hear bipedal footsteps. You hear a wood knock at that moment. And that kind of confirmed to me that I think they do wood knocks. You know, sometimes we don't know. We've never seen one do a wood knock, but we hear it on the video. So I get home, and Ed Brown was with me at that time. And I'm thinking in my head, like, what do you tell, like, your other half that is into this? So how was your walk? It was really good. We ran into some Sasquatch. He'd be like, yeah, I'm sure you did. You know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So he sees our expressions when we come in the door, and he knew something was wrong. He knows me very well. He saw the girls, like, they were upset. And then I said, Ed, I don't even know how to say this to you, but there's a creature in the woods about 100 feet from us, and he was massive. And Ed's like, I'm sure it was just a man, you know, because you're still like, oh, come on. You know, I think you must have misidentified it. And I go, no, Ed, like, and at that point, my daughter hears me, and she says, like, I videotaped it a couple times. And at that point, we fall off the couch, because I'm like, you videotaped it? You know, like, I'm so excited, like, let's see it. So he gets on his laptop, and I showed him where it was. And he said, no, he enlarged the picture. He goes, no, there's a man, like, looking at you. And I said, no, he was a man, but a Neanderthal man. And so basically what happened was the next day we had a hard time sleeping at night, that night, all of us, because it's when you have a sighting like that, you can't get it out of your mind. Like, you're still in disbelief. It's very surreal. And we went back, and then when Ed went back there, I showed him, like, where we saw the creature, and there's this huge branch that's been, like, torn off, and I believe the creature, like, tore it off as it was getting up on the tree, but it was 30 feet. He was 30 feet up on the tree, so Ed's like, okay, this was not a man. There's something in that picture, you know, and I'm going to tell people it's not the greatest picture, but for my 14-year-old to be brave enough to videotape it, which I was too scared to do, I commend her for that, you know, and she had an iPhone, and what we did is we did a comparison picture because around the same time of day, almost the same weather, because I wanted to show people, look, like, I wasn't even going to share it really at the beginning, and you could see that the creature's not there anymore, and like at that moment he was, you know, and we found a 22-inch footprint, possibly. And then we found a 13-inch print where she said she saw them running, you know, with five toes. And so that's what happened. And, you know, like, I pray a lot to God, and I want to help people as much as possible. I'm very confident in what I feel is my passion. And what I decided to do is call the Fish and Game. And first of all, you don't even know who to call, because there's not like, here, if you see a Sasquatch, call what, you know what I mean? Report it. Because I was thinking to myself, not at the time, but if I saw a young family coming on that trail, I have as a human being to warn them, hey, like, we don't know what these creatures are going to do. And I'm not saying they're all bad, because people, like, sometimes get mad at me. But I believe there's some bad clans and there's some good clans. And what would I tell that family? Hey, don't go over there. There's a Sasquatch. They'd be laughing at me going, sure there is. You know, this lady's crazy, you know. And I want our society to change because they are real. And I want people to be warned when they go out there because I want people to have a choice. They know about bears. They know about mountain lions. They know about dangerous people, serial killers. You know, I want them to know the truth. And I don't understand why it's such a taboo subject, especially here in Los Angeles. So what I decided to do is call, like, I didn't even know who to call. So I just call, like, the sheriff's department. And I first, like, it's, like, really hard to make that phone call because I'm like, hi, my name is Claudia Ackley. Look, I'll take a drug test, a lie detector test, a psych evaluation. We ran into a Sasquatch on this trail, and it's concerning because this thing was massive, you know, and there's three of them that showed themselves that day. And she was, like, quiet on the phone, and she's like, like, okay, well, I've never really had a phone call like this. Like, I don't know who handles it, if it's a Forest Service or Fishing Game, but they will call you back. I said, okay. So within 3 minutes, like, the phone rings, and it was them. And it was a woman, we'll call her Debbie, and she said, hi, I'm Fishing Game. You reported you saw a Sasquatch? And I said, yes, I did. She goes, what's your address? I gave it to her. Within 5 minutes, she was at my house, very professional. And I was very, like, respectful and professional. And I actually recorded the conversation, but I can't use it because she didn't know I was recording her because I wanted to just learn. So she came, and I said, look, there's three witnesses. I said, we found two sets of prints. And I said, this is really serious. I want to report this. And she's like, well, I want to let you know, supervisor is with me here right now, though you don't see him. He'll be on the other end on the phone. And he's going to try to explain to you what you saw. And I thought that was interesting. I'm like, okay. So I tell her everything I just told you guys, except like the sightings that I've had previous. I just told her about that day. So I showed her the pictures, and right away she pointed at it. She's like, is that it? I'm like, yeah. And I said, look, it had big human ears like us. Like, but his ears were big. I noticed that. And I said, I'm not doing this because I want to help people. I want people to be warned out there. And then she said, okay, let me talk to my supervisor. So she messages him, and I'm sitting there, and he responds back, and she takes a deep breath, and she says, you saw a bear. And I said, no, I did not see a bear. And I said, look, like, this thing, like, it was like a cinnamon red color. It wasn't dark, like, on the video. I don't know why it's, like, black or whatever, but it was cinnamon color. He had human eyes. I know what I saw. There's three witnesses. And she said, well, we have a lot of bears out there. And I said, so you're telling me that there's two bipedal bears that are running really fast? So we saw three of them. Two of them are running on 2 feet, which is, like, not ever heard of. Mm-hmm. And I said, I know what bears look like. And she basically said to me, we have a lot of homeless people out there. And I said, so somebody homeless is going to have a 22-foot inch. I've never met anybody who has a 22-inch size foot. And another one that's 13 inches, somebody's going to be walking barefoot in those woods. And she goes, there's a lot of homeless people out there. And I said, I've been all over those woods, and there's not one tent. I've never even seen a person on that trail. Ugh. So she kept saying, well, you know, here's a pamphlet. And it was like, how to like protect yourself against bears. And I said, I don't need a bear pamphlet. I need a Sasquatch pamphlet. And she goes, like, we don't have one. And she goes, well, anyway, you know, thank you for your time. And we'll kind of go and check the area. We'll drive around. And I'm thinking to myself, like, where are you going to drive? Like, the little 4-inch parking lot that's in the front? You can't even drive your car in there anyway. I'm, like, really sarcastic. But I said to her, look, like, I have a lot of respect for you, and I appreciate your job. But I have ethics, and I have morals. And I want to let you know that for you to lie to people and tell them that you saw a bear, it's already hard enough to, like, make this phone call, and it's not okay. And then I said, I have some questions for you. Has anybody ever experienced any Sasquatch sightings there? And she said, no, like, right away. So you're telling me within the 5 minutes of my phone call, you researched to see if there was any Sasquatch sightings on that trail within 5 minutes? And she didn't answer me. And I said, second of all, has anybody ever been hurt on that trail? And she said, yes. I said, what happened? She said there was a Boy Scout troop that went there, and he didn't listen to his troop master, and he had food in that tent. And unfortunately, a bear went inside the tent and hurt that child very, and she said it like 5 times, very, very, very badly. And then I'm thinking in my head, and I ask her, was it really a bear? You know, like, was it a bear? You know, so anyway, she left. And at that day, I felt ashamed, and I felt like this is not okay. Like, I know that people call for help, and there's no help for them. So a couple of days go by. I'm listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. I love, like, Wes and Woody. And I heard Todd Standing. Now, Todd Standing and I have been friends on Facebook, but I never have chatted with him. And he was talking about his Canadian court case. And for something, like, I was alone here at home, and something said, this is what you need to do. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. So I messaged Todd Standing, look, this is my experience. I want to do something to change society. I want to know that I want to help others. And he basically called me and he said, I said, I know you're controversial, but I need help. I don't know who to go to progress this. And he said, I'll fly down to help you. So he took his time, his money, and he flew down for like 7 days and stayed with us. And
wow.
You know, I know him. And I asked him some hard questions. I said, look, I know you're controversial. Like, I want to know, this is all about truth for me. I want to know, have you ever hoaxed a video? And I will sign a contract saying I will not disclose anything. I give you my word. I speak truth. And he said, no. I said, fair enough. I wasn't there when you filmed, but I know his passion. I know that he really wants to change things. And he has spent a lot of his time and life and dedication. And for him to come out here, not even knowing me, even though now we're like really close, like, I'm thankful for him. And a lot of people get mad at me. And I said, you know what? Nobody else offered to come and help me. So I will stand by him. We're a team. And I thank him for what he's done for me. So I did not have an attorney at that time. I go to the courts and I ask them, I tell them I need a lawsuit for the fishing game, like about the Sasquatch. And first of all, nobody's ever done this. So they were like, we're not sure what form to give you because there's thousands of forms in the courthouse. So maybe it's 4 and 5. So I just got all the forms. And I have a friend who's a paralegal and she's very, very intelligent. And she's very, she doesn't believe in the Sasquatch species. You know, she's kind of an attorney and she's just like, hey, you know what? Come over. I'll help you. And we spent 3 days, days and nights, looking at the laws, and we wrote, it's called the writ of mandate. Basically, it's my complaint to the state of California saying what I want. And, you know, it's going to be really hard to prove that these exist without a body. You know, we have a lot of DNA. We have a lot of support. We have Bob Gimlin, who will testify on our behalf. We have Dr. Meldrum. We have a lot of people. People have had sightings here. And we went and filed, you know, I got a court case for like 3 months after Todd was here. And I started preparing myself and I could not find an attorney. Nobody wants to touch me because it might hurt their practice, especially pro bono. I'm a single mom. I can't afford thousands and thousands of dollars, but I'm not going to give up. So this attorney, I'm not going to mention his name. A lot of people know his name, but he called from Texas and asked Todd, hey, look, I want to take your case. Like I want to win. But if she goes in there with this paperwork, they're going to eat her alive. Let me help you win this case. I only get one chance. And so Todd called me and he's like, you know, Claudia, you might have to stop this without prejudice until he's ready to get all of his evidence ready. And he basically said, just give me some time, stop it. And that, which what I did is I stopped the court case without prejudice, which means I can refile again when we're all prepared. You know, I'm not an attorney. I want to win this. So I told Todd, I'm having a hard time because he's not talking to me. I want to talk to him. And he said, well, he's got some kind of legal issues. He has to get permission to represent you in the state of California, which takes some time, paperwork. And he said, please, please, Claudia, just stop it for now. Let's get it done right. I said, okay, fair enough, which was hard for me to do. I didn't want to do that, but I did. So basically, once we did that, we never really heard from him ever. Like, I mean, I would call over and over, leave messages like, hey, like, what's going on? Well, we're getting permission to represent you in the state of California. There's a lot of technicalities. Like, basically, he has to rent an office here in California just for me. There's a lot of stuff that goes into the law. So basically after 6 months, like Todd and I started talking and we said, you know what, we got to proceed this. We're not getting any response from him. I have to go to court. If I have to go to court by myself and talk to the judge and say, look, I'm not asking for money at all. I want public education and I want some help for people that have had sightings. This is like thousands of people. We're not all liars and hoaxers. You know what I mean? So basically that's what's happened so far with the court case. I'm not going to talk so much so you can answer questions. I'm so sorry.
Oh, just... no, you're doing great. You're doing great. And we have like 8 minutes left of this show. So I wanted to ask, are you refiling soon or what is yes. what is your plan for that?
We are refiling soon. Now that Todd just stopped, like he didn't, it's a lot. It was really hard. Like, but we're learning from our experiences. So Todd experienced going to court and basically having a really hard time. But now we learn from that mistake. So we won't make this mistake in California. So it's two different countries. They basically work the same. But I do have a lot of people that will testify. There's actually a deputy that went on a call near where I had the sighting of a little old woman that saw them looking through her window and she panicked. And when he came and met me here, he said, I didn't even know. I thought we thought she was delusional. Or now that we hear your story, something's going on that trail. And 6 people notified me, by the way. I left a note out there saying, if you've seen anything, experienced anything, please call me. There'll be no judgment. Did not leave my name, just my cell phone number. And then I interview them, making sure that they weren't, you know, making it up, their story.
Well, Claudia, I just want to say one thing to you. I am so proud of you. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank
Definitely.
You so much. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to start a PTSD group throughout the United States, free to the public. I know I have a lot of stuff going on, but it will start as soon as I get my... It's been real busy, but I want people to have a place to go and experience and not be judged or ridiculed. It's going to be like an AA setting, and that's when I'm going to start doing free to the public for people. So
good for you.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when we talked before the show, whenever that was, a couple months ago, you had said that your daughters were really traumatized by that experience. How are they doing?
They're doing a little bit better. A couple days ago, my daughter, youngest, started talking about it, but she doesn't want to live in the woods here anymore, so we're probably going to relocate soon. It's too hard on them. I can't imagine being her age and seeing what I saw. I mean, I remember seeing Patty, and I wasn't even into it, and I was thinking that'd be scary to run into. You know, it's just, and I'm not saying they're all bad, but when you're told there's no monsters, there's really, and she said to me, you lied. Like, you said there was no monsters, Mom, and there are, you know, and so I'm trying to help her through it. And I'm learning from their experience so I can help maybe other kids too, you know, that have seen them. So.
But and I know that, go ahead.
They're going to be okay. That's all I want to say then.
Yeah.
Time heals. Yeah. So.
And I know that you've been interviewing people and you sent me some pretty interesting pictures that I'm not going to share because they're pretty hoofta. Oh, that's probably a lot of listeners don't understand oofta. That's a very Midwestern saying. Like, oh boy. Oy vey.
Yeah, they're very graphic pictures. So, yeah. And I'll share them in court, but not to the public. It's not appropriate. It can hurt people. Like, or traumatize the pictures that I'm showing. I only show it to close people, but I want to just do a little shout out to a lot of researchers out there. Scott Carpenter has been one of my teachers from like 7 years ago, and he's been teaching me a lot, and I've learned from great researchers. And I want to say to all of you, thank you for your love and support. I know I have a lot of haters out there, but I have a lot of support as well. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
That's all my fault.
I love you guys. You're awesome. So.
Ditto.
We're so excited you could come be with us tonight too. And so what if, as far as the lawsuit is concerned, what exactly would you like to see happen? If everything would happen according to your plan, what exactly would you like to see happen?
Well, I'm not trying to like hurt the fishing game because they do have a great job, and they do a great job with like their investigations on bear attacks, lion attacks. But what I would like to see happen is when somebody calls and reports any kind of an emergency, from Sasquatch sightings to, I know people are talking about the dog man, I want them not to be laughed at and said, you just saw a bear, and walk away, because the public is at risk. And I'm trying to like scream here saying, you know what, the people that have got great encounters, that's great. Like, I had great encounters, but there's a lot of people that have had bad encounters. There's a lot of missing people. Like, Dave Politis has really dedicated himself, you know, with like trying to get the word out there. And that's what I want to do too. So that's my big number one is species protection. I don't want them to be shot or killed. I believe we're all over their woods, and that's not okay. They need their home too. And I also want the fishing game not to have the derelict of their duty. Go out there, talk to the person, help them through it. Even though you don't believe in it, like, help that person. Like, you know, it's like, it's not okay. So that's what I want to see, a change. Definitely a change. I want to save one life. And if I could save one life through this, it's all worth it. Because it's been hard. I'm not going to say it's been like, this is so fun. No, it's hard. It's hard. I've cried a lot. You know, I have feelings. I get scared. I'm not. But you know what's funny is I've had people come to my door and they try to intimidate me. And I'm thinking, like, I was in front of an 800-pound mammoth Sasquatch. Do you think that you're going to intimidate me? Really, get back in your car and go home. And that's my attitude. You know, it's just.
Good for you. I'm so proud of you. I really am, to stand up to all of that.
Thank you so much. So
we're behind you.
Thank you. I really am grateful. So thank you.
It's not easy to go out into the public and say, I believe in Bigfoot, much less I saw Bigfoot. Right?
I just interviewed, but so far it has like 100,000 views, and I'm getting out of the community and going out now to the public, and like 90% of the public think I'm crazy or whatever, or lying or whatever, but I don't care what people think. I'm speaking my truth, and I know what I saw twice, maybe three times, you know, and it's just it's time that we change. It's the millennium, you know. It's like, I don't know why the government is hiding it. I think it's money, and I think it's something they can't control. So when they can't control something, what they do is deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not anymore. So that's even if true. I don't win this, you know, I I want people to know that the people that I've seen, experienced, I believe you, I support you. Please be confident in what you've seen. Please report what you've seen. Do not be afraid of what people think. Just remember, every life matters, and that's important. So,
and it's not just the human lives that matter here, too. I mean, obviously, we're putting Sasquatch in danger. If people are startled, you know, that they're not.
Yeah. Extremely intelligent. I saw a soul in his eyes, both of them. So they're not animals. They're animals, but they're very, like, intelligent, you know. It's just, I saw a soul in his eyes. So that was very beautiful to me. So
That is beautiful. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. Is there a way that people can reach you? Do you have a website or a Facebook page at all?
Todd and I are going to start a website together called Discovering Bigfoot Part 2, and I also am on Facebook and Messenger. If I don't respond to you guys, it's really hard. I'm trying to get a hold of, it's being messaged in 20, 30 messages a day. I work, and I have my daughters are my number one priority. I'm still a mom, and they're my number one. So when I have time, I will get back to you, and I'm so sorry if I haven't, you know, responded, but I will get there. So I thank you for that.
Awesome.
I've met great people like Josh Gates, Les Stroud. They're very supportive. A lot of people in celebrity status. And all I want is them to help me get the word out there. That's the most important thing. So I'm very, very honored. I just feel blessed. And I want to make this a positive experience. So
That's wonderful. Oh, and we just got to hang out with the guys from Finding Bigfoot, Bobo and Cliff Brockman and Travis Walton.
Oh, I love Travis. He's such a good man.
He is amazing. We were all hanging out at the hotel, and after the event closed, everybody showed up down there to eat at the restaurant bar area, which closed. And so we were all just sitting there. And Jenna and I ordered a couple pizzas, and people were streaming in going, "Where's the food? Here, have some pizza."
Oh, that's so fun.
It was a blast.
You guys are also very dedicated, and I've heard nothing but beautiful and great things about you. So I cannot wait to meet you guys one day.
Thank you for that, too. Your dedication makes a difference. Well, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to have to say goodnight, but a special thanks from our heart. And let's keep in touch and keep us informed. And you can find, we're going to be uploading this show probably within the week at thejourneyradioshow.com. And also it'll be uploaded on our radio page on shesquatchers.com. So check it out there. You'll have a forever home with us, Claudia.
Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Good night.